been many years since we have been here. We had a longing in our heart to come. And the Lord said He would give us the desire of our heart if we delight ourselves in Him. Some of you know I took sick, and it looked like it was impossible that we would be able to come. And on Sunday morning, I asked Lauren to have the congregation anoint a handkerchief for me. And they did that, and he brought it home, and I put it on my gown, and within 30 minutes, the Lord gave me a definite healing touch. There was a definite change, and I just began feeling better from that moment on. So that's a testimony that it still works. Thank the Lord for it. Been thinking about, we really don't have a new message. I tell the congregation there that the messages are stacking up. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but I feel like I understand it better now. I believe the Lord has sent every kind of message that you and I need to hear to make heaven. So there's really nothing new. We repeat it over and over. That is the method that the Lord uses, and we use it with our children as well. When a child goes to first grade, it's repeat, repeat, and repeat. That's how they learn. And that's how you and I are going to make heaven, is to hear it over and over and over and have it reaffirmed to us again and again. So if this is something you've heard before, it's to reaffirm it. And I thank the Lord that He's done that for me down through my life. What I see is that you and I are a responsible generation because we have heard so much. I believe that God, now this is what I believe. I believe that God has already been faithful to every nation. I believe history bears that out. I believe that there was an age that missionaries were in every nation and presented the truth and light to a generation that then had a responsibility to their nation. I believe that. And I believe that there are a people of God upon all of the face of the earth. And I don't know who they are, but I believe God does. Thank the Lord. I believe that you and I are in a time that the Bible says for us to occupy until He comes. And I believe that is why the messages are stacking up. Because we come every week. Many times we hear at least two messages every week. We go to prayer meeting and we hear the testimonies. And I tell the congregation there at home that I know that the Lord is pleased when the doors of the chapel are open. Even though it may seem like it's the very same ones that attend, they are coming because they want to go to heaven and they want something to help them go. And that's Scripture. I believe that the Lord does not want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I have a few things I've written down here that I believe. And actually, you probably will hear a lot of things that I'm going to say today that I believe and that I see. I believe that the Lord does not want us to forsake the ancient landmarks. I believe that He still wants you and me to take up our cross daily. And I believe that He desires His people and all people, as far as that goes, to have a clear vision. I believe that the Scripture says that where there is no vision, the people perish. I believe that. So I want to talk to us this morning a little bit about vision. Vision is very, very important. And we heard some testimonies here just in this meeting of vision in one eye being affected and how it was very important. I personally desire to always maintain and keep my vision to my last breath because I have seen great value, and I believe you do too. Someone told a little story there at home of a little child closed his eyes, and I think the power went off while his eyes were closed, and when he opened them, he thought he had gone blind. Well, it was just the power of the electricity, but suddenly he opened his eyes and he could not see. And he found how important vision is. I value my vision physically. And those that lose it feel it. It's a great loss when we do not have eyesight or vision. I'm thinking now, of course, of our spiritual vision. Spiritual vision is our eyesight of the unseen. Spiritual vision is also our revelations or our understanding. I thank God for my understanding. Or my eyesight, spiritually. It's also our convictions. And I'm thinking of how valuable a clear vision is. I'm thinking how I need to guard my vision, my spiritual vision. It's being contested today. Vision is being contested. And I'm thinking about a darkened vision. When I think of one that is physically blind, how dangerous it is, not able to really, could easily fall, could easily be in a dangerous position. But a darkened vision is even more dangerous than that. It is actually detrimental because it's eternal. It has to do with how I might end up in my life. I'd like to mention, though, that in between the clear vision and that darkened vision are also individuals. Some may not have the clear vision, but they're coming to it. That's a great blessing. I remember a message Brother Ed preached many years ago in our congregation, and he was in the carpenter work. And I don't really have a real great memory, but I want to tell you this particular account that he told stayed with me down through my life. And actually last night as we were at the gathering, it came back to me. We got out of our car and we started walking up toward the house across the lawn, and there was a light up there, and we could fairly well pick out our way because we were walking toward the light. Well, there was a reason for me to go back to the car in that evening and get something. and I was walking toward the darkness. And I, as I got out in the path there, I said, oh, it is so dark. And I wasn't even sure I could see the car. I want to tell you that's how it is with our spiritual vision too. If you're walking toward the light, keep walking toward the light. And don't turn your back on the light, because you will stumble and fall and it will be dark. And great is that darkness when our light is turned to darkness. I always have to tell this little story because it has such great meaning. Sister Catherine was my mentor, and I served her in many ways. And she told me that the Lord told her she would never go blind. And there came a time I knew she was blind. She couldn't see her food on her plate to eat. She had to feel for it. Well, one day I was there and the telephone rang, and it was AT&T, and they wanted her to have a package deal of caller ID. And I said, oh, well, she doesn't need caller ID because she is blind. And she heard me. And she really got on to me. I am not blind. God said I would not go blind. She would not receive it. And so I had to say, okay. That there came a time that she had to go to the nursing home because she could no longer take care of herself. And one day she calls me and she said, would you come? I've got to talk to you. And when I got there, Sister Catherine, I really never saw her down, but she was down. And she said, Maxine, I am blind. She said, God said I would never be blind. And I want to tell you, the voice of the Lord spoke to me at that very moment, and I knew it came from heaven, and He said, I meant that she would never go blind spiritually. And I said that to her, and she threw her arms up in the air, and her eyes were very wide, and she shouted. Spiritual vision is far more important than these physical eyes. She was blind physically, but she still had a vision, a spiritual vision that was going to take her to the end. And it took her to the end. I'm thinking about how that you and I get vision, spiritual vision. Spiritual vision was passed to me by those who had it before me. I am so thankful for all of those who had clear spiritual vision and passed it on to me. Even as a child, I got a hold of a spiritual vision. Thinking about the message yesterday morning of influence, don't you know that those who have clear spiritual vision are an influence to us? Or they can be, if we will let them. If we will let their clear vision and what they tell us and say to us, whether it's in a testimony or a personal contact, and I get a hold of that, it's what I do with it then, whether I retain it. Because the Scripture then says, for me to ask, for me to seek, for me to knock. And when I do that, I'm going to have that same vision. And I want to say that I did that as a child. It was introduced to me as a child. Now let me tell you that I went away from the Lord for many years. I was not established spiritually until I was 30 years old. But I never lost my vision. of where truth was, where the true church was, what I could come back. I knew where to come back to. I knew it because I had a vision and it was clear. And I never sought after anything that was dark. I'm going to make some statements here, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but I'm going to say this is my testimony. When I received this vision, even though I was young, it spoiled me for anything else. That's my testimony now. But it goes beyond that. Even though I wasn't saved for many years, Lauren and I taught our children what it was to be saved by saying, "We are not." I don't know if anyone has ever done that before, but we let them know we are not saved. People that are saved don't live like us. That's how we taught our children. And it had a great impact on them. They knew there was a right way to live. Jan, the one that died, she would cry and cry, and she'd say, "I don't want you to go to hell." I remember when both of our two older daughters got saved, they were probably about 10 and 11 maybe. I remember standing there at the Guthrie Chapel, weeping like a baby that my two daughters wanted this way. But I would not yield. But it left an impact on me. I had passed to them a vision, and they knew where to go to get a way to go to heaven. I want to tell you something else I could not do, though. I could never bow at another altar. I could not partake of any other religion. There was nothing, no other religion out there that I could comfortably go to and appease the longing in my heart because I already had that vision of the body of Christ and the church of God and the way to salvation. I had it, and I could not seek for a substitute in any other place. I couldn't do it. I wrote this down here because this is how the Lord spoke it to me, that I never drank of their cup. Did you know that's very important? Because if you and I bow at their altars or we take of their cup, it will pollute our vision. And that's what would have happened to me. I never even inquired about their philosophies. I didn't do it. Because I was already satisfied that this was the right way. This was the truth. This was the one true way. Thank the Lord. Well, I want to say, I'm still talking about what I think and feel and see. Would someone hand me a songbook, please? Thank you. I want to say this. I love the Church of God. I love the founder. I love the truth. And I love all that it stands for. I love it. I think about Paul when the light came to him and what was said to him. He said, "Paul, isn't it hard to kick against the pricks?" I want to say to us this morning that I didn't kick against the pricks, even when it hit me. When I knew that I was not measured up to whatever was said, I didn't kick against it, because that's hard. That's hard. But I want to say that I love the doctrine. I love the people. I love the work of God. And I, even though I resisted yielding to the call of God, I cannot imagine not being there now. I can't imagine it. I appreciate the call of God now. I thank the Lord for it. I'm going to make some more statements. We are going to get to some scripture. I see Christ as the head of the Church of God. I have this vision. I see that the government is on His shoulder. I believe it. I believe with all of my heart that He places the members in the body. I believe it. I've witnessed it. I see the church as the bride of Christ, that's prepared for her husband. I see her in that light. I see and I believe that she is, as the scripture says, espoused to one husband. I believe this. I see the church as being not of this world. I see the church as being above this world. I see the church as being in this world and not of this world. I see that. Thank the Lord, yes. I see the church also as a remnant. I see it as a holy remnant. And I believe that the remnant is bigger than what I see. Thank the Lord for that. Because He said that the seal, this is the seal, is that He knows everyone that are His. And I don't have to know everyone that are His. Thank the Lord. Now I want to go to some songs. Our songwriters had the same vision. But the number one song I want to read first, if you'll turn with me and look at some of these. We're not going to read them all, but number 7, because this speaks of where I am speaking today. I love Thy kingdom, Lord, the place of Thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with His own precious blood. Have you noticed how many songs we have sung about redemption? How Sister Marilyn got up and gave us an exhortation on being redeemed. It's all part of the Church of God. It is the place of redemption. It's where redemption is. Thank the Lord. I love Thy church, O God, her walls before Thee stand, dear as the apple of Thine eye and graven on Thine hand. I believe that. Verses 3 and 4 says, "For her my tears shall fall." Have you ever wept for the Church of God? It's a real weeping. I remember one time I was in a local store there, Crest. had a heavy burden on my heart for the Church of God. And as I walked those aisles, it became greater. And I began to weep right in the store and could not stop crying. I had to go get a box of Kleenex. You know, people looking on, they would have thought, oh, there must be something very sorrowful in her life. When you and I weep for the Church of God, it's a special kind of weeping. We don't want to see anyone leave. And we know if they leave, they're leaving that place of redemption. There is a weeping. And this song says, for her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend. Do you pray for the Church of God? How often in our services does someone say, pray for the church? I'd like to challenge us, and I'm not condemning us by any means, because we have it in our own congregation. But nearly every service, someone will say, pray for our country. But not always do we say, pray for the church. May I give us a challenge today that we begin to say it first. Pray for the Church of God. And then pray for our country. Yes, we must pray for the leaders of our land, but let me tell you, the Church of God needs prayer right now. Let us feel the burden of it and begin to make that a priority in our prayer request. For her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils are given, till toils and cares shall end. I'd like to address some other songs now because I want to talk to us about the Church of God. I believe one song was even called this morning. Church has one foundation. Have you ever just really, you know, you and I, we sing these songs and don't always even stop and think of the words. I really like it when, and we've done it a few times, the song leader is the only one that gets to open the book, and the rest of us have to do it by memory. Did you know that's really good for you? Because what if there comes a time that the books are gone and you're alone? Don't you know that God can bring it back to your mind? But we've got to have it in our mind and in our heart. These songwriters had a vision of the Church of God. And we don't have time this morning to go over all of those verses, but that's another challenge I want to give you. When these songs are sung, contemplate what they're saying. Let it be part of your vision. Look at it. Analyze it. Let it sink down in your heart and your mind and say to yourself, I believe that. Not long ago, well, I will just tell you that the Lord has healed us many times. And many times it's simply been Lorne and me at home. And maybe I'm sick or getting sick. And I will say, honey, go get the oil and anoint me. And he will. And recently, it was just so inspired to me that as he did it, I said to him, I really believe in this. And it was such an emphatic statement on my part. It inspired my faith, so God just healed me. Let us believe, really believe. And you know what? We can help our belief by saying it. By saying, I really believe in this. So as you sing these songs, that has vision, think of the words and say, I really believe this. And if you feel that there is some doubt, begin to seek for the belief and seek for the vision of it. I think from this day forward, from this time forward, you and I are going to have this vision because of what the Scripture said, we will perish without it. So we need our vision sharpened. The blameless church. Oh, that sounds so high. Is it too high? Is the church blameless? Oh, well, I know of people that have really stepped on others' toes, and I know of people that have offended people, and I know of preachers that got up and they just really did offend. Will the truth offend? It can. Can I tell you a testimony of myself? One time I was in the congregation and a message was going forth. This was years ago. And at that time, their ruffles were the thing for women. And I had held off from ruffles for a long time. And then I thought, well, a little tiny ruffle will not hurt around my collars and around my cuffs. Just a small one. It wasn't real obvious, and I did it. And the minister was preaching on ruffles, and especially Sunday school teachers with ruffles, and I was a Sunday school teacher. And I looked around, and it was only me and one other person with ruffles. And I was offended. And so, when church dismissed, I slipped out and got in the back seat of the car. I didn't get out of the front seat. I got in the back seat because I was wounded. And oh my. So, Sarah, she gets in the front seat with Lauren Vance. They don't even pay me any mind back there, you know. And I'm going home. And I'm just licking my wounds, and the Lord, I still remember the corner where we were when the Lord spoke this to me. And He said it with such a tender voice, and He said, why do you want ruffles? And I said, well, Lord, I just feel so feminine. And then He said, won't you give it up for me? And He said it so tenderly, I could not resist it. And I said, yes, Lord, I will. Now I only had two garments in my closet that had it, and I went home and they were gone. The Lord gave me such victory. But yes, the preached word is sometimes going to step on your toes. But if you go home and pet that thing, it'll get to be a mountain. Or you can listen to the voice of the Lord and you can say, yes, Lord. And you can have a vision of what will help you in life. If I had not given in that place, I couldn't be standing here today. And other instances just like it, when the Lord spoke to me so gently and said, won't you give it up for me? Nothing's worth missing the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Nothing is worth it. So we go back to this vision of the church. Yes, some people will be offended. But do you know what the Word says? The Holy Spirit will wound. He says, I wound, but I heal. And if the Word is given under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you are offended, His Spirit will heal you. Because it's the Word. Now, Psalm 28, the blameless church. This is the song that actually prompted the burden. I was in prayer one morning, and the Lord spoke this part to me. And of course, then I had to look it up and found it in this song. Her altars of cleansing for me. That's what the Lord spoke to me. And from that, the Lord gave me this burden. For where is the altars of cleansing? It's in verse 4 of song number 28, and it says, with blood from the cross he doth sprinkle her altars of cleansing for me. Thank the Lord. I want to tell you, I count the altar a very precious place. And I am not ashamed to go to the altar. And if you see me there at the altar, don't think I have backslid. I have found more grace at an altar of prayer down through my ministry. I have found help in time of need. There has been an altar of cleansing in the Church of God. Thank the Lord. I love to tell this. Our altar bench in our congregation is much different from this one. It has a solid front and a solid back. And there are dried tears. You can see them on the back side of our altar. You know, the altar is sometimes called the mourning bench. It's where you and I come and we leave all of our sins and sorrows and griefs. Is it not? Have you ever shed tears at an altar? I do not want to judge anyone, and I certainly don't want to condemn, but I do believe that there is a great help for those who have a strong repentance with tears. Some way there is a cleansing even with our tears. So now I would like to address our altar. And I know that you know that it's not just this bench. And it's not just that place. But Christ is our altar. And when you and I come and bow at an altar, that's who we're bowing to. That's who we're coming to. I would like to say this. I believe that you can meet God wherever and whenever. I believe this. In the dark of the night, alone in your closet, beside your bed, at your favorite place of prayer, driving down the road, walking down the aisles in a grocery store, you can meet God anywhere. But I highly recommend the public altar. I highly recommend it. There is something about doing something publicly, especially when you're getting salvation, when you're repenting of your sins, that it is the best place, that Satan is not as easily, he cannot as easily affect you. Oh, he will contest it. But the testimony of what you have done publicly will strengthen you. The Scripture verifies that. It says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So the blood, her altars, there's blood from the cross doth sprinkle her altars of cleansing for you and me. And as we openly come and confess at an altar, I believe there is great power and reward. Thank the Lord. Now I'm going to read Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 18 and 19, because I really believe this. We said this was not new. You have heard this scripture many times in your life, and I think that we could even, no doubt, quote it. As you look at it there, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but I want you to know where it comes from. We have said that Christ is our altar. Christ is the head of the church. So I'm going to refer, and this is Christ, He's speaking these words. I'm going to say it this way that it may encourage our faith and our vision, is that the head of the church was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. You and I cannot help ourselves and we cannot redeem ourselves, but He can.
That's right.
Thank the Lord. You're poor. I was poor. I could not do anything to help myself. But I came to the one who could. And He is the head of this church. This bride. The head of the church of God was sent to heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever experienced a broken heart? I want to tell you, His plan covers it all. There is deliverance in Zion. Actually, we need to back up and read that scripture, don't we? Someone turn to Joel the 2nd chapter, verse 32, and read it for us. Joel 2 and 32. It shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and those are spiritual terms. Do you have a vision of it? That it's not Jerusalem over there. It's a spiritual Jerusalem. Mount Zion is here in our midst. You have to see the unseen. See? You have to have the vision of what this is saying now. Go on. You shall be delivered. As the Lord has said. In the remnant. The one that the Lord called. Called where? Called out. She is not a part of the religious realm out there. She is not partaking of their cup. She is not embracing their philosophies and their doctrines. She is doing the Word of God. She is living above the world. She is the blameless church. And now the head has been sent to heal the brokenhearted. I want to tell you, Brother Dan said the other day, he said, just keep breathing and you're going to need this. Well, I'm going to say it too. You just keep breathing, and there's coming a day that if you haven't had a broken heart up to this time, you will. And He has a plan of deliverance. I want to tell you, it's up to date. It is today. We don't have time to testify of all of the times the Lord has healed my broken heart. But I'm sure that if I... Well, let's just do it. Raise your hand if God has healed your broken heart at some point in your life. Raise your hand. Has nobody else done it? Has anybody else had a broken heart? I know every one of you has. I want to tell you, the head of the Church of God was sent to heal the broken heart. Amen. And then it said, and to deliver the captives. Have you ever been captivated? I've been captivated. Satan wants to captivate you. Even in the state you're in right now, he would like to captivate your mind. Lord, help me that I not take too much time, but I want to testify here. Recently, actually it was just before Brother Marty came for our meeting. 2 weeks before he came, I absolutely had an attack of the devil. I don't want to testify for the devil, but this was my experience. And he took me down so fast, he brought back to my mind all of the hurts of the last 40 years. Very fresh. And I could not rise above it. I had to preach the next Sunday. Nobody else was going to be there. On Saturday night, I said, Lord, I don't know how I can even stand before the people, because the devil was saying, preachers aren't supposed to feel like this. Well, I happened to call someone for prayer for another call that had come in for prayer. I felt like I needed others to pray. And this person perceived that I was in a battle. And I couldn't tell them. And so they said, well, can we pray for you? And I said, oh, yes, that will be fine. In their prayer, this is the words they said, just this little phrase, and my faith was able to get a hold of it, and it said, Lord, help Sister Maxine not to observe the wind where she cannot sow. And I needed that for Sunday morning. And the Lord gave me a message, and He blessed it, and I came out of it for Sunday. But Monday, I plunged right back into it. I was in the throes of a terrible battle. Long story short, the Lord delivered me. I was captivated, and He broke the captivating power. I did not sin. God brought me out. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
The head, the captain of our salvation, the head of the Church of God is the one that does this.
Amen.
At our altars of cleansing, wherever that altar is, that you come and meet Him. And by the way, it was at our altar. After church on Sunday night, when Brother Marty, everyone had left, and I told my husband, I said, now you've got to be my counselor. I said, we're going to stay here and pray at this altar until I get the victory. And that's what happened. Thank the Lord for His altars of cleansing in the Church of God. the head of the Church of God has been sent to recover sight to the blind. Oh, thank the Lord for those who have had their sight recovered spiritually. And He's able to do it. And He will do it. He will set at liberty all that are bruised. And the reference on it is oppressed. How many of us have been oppressed in our minds? You know, a lot of times a person can be oppressed and they hide it. You can cover it in front of people. I did. For many, many years, I was under a spirit of depression. And in front of people, you'd never know it. Behind my doors of my house, you'd never believe I could be anything else. I married with a real heavy baggage. And my husband did not know what to do with me. I want to tell you, I suffered for many years. Few people knew what I went through. I'm telling you this for hope. That this captain of our salvation and this altar of cleansing will reach the very depths of no matter how long you've been in it. He can break the power of it. He can raise you up. He can make you a normal person. I am a normal person. I'm delivered. In 1980, God sent a message to me. Most of you have heard me give this testimony before. It's not new, but it's new to me. Every time I tell it, the Lord has to bring it back to my mind in order to tell it. Because I don't live under the shadow of it at all. Thank the Lord. I was in a place, I was saved, but I was contemplating suicide. And I was going to do it in a way it did not look like suicide. But had I done it, I would have been lost. Because God knew my heart. But He also knew I couldn't help myself. I was in it so deep, I could not get out. And the first Sunday of 1980, actually Brother Ed preached the message. And it was not recorded, so it's lost. He preached a message on emotional disturbances. I literally scooted out to the edge of my seat there in the chapel. And for the first time in my whole life had hope. The next day we went over and I guess it was just Roberta and me. And again, I cannot remember anything that was said, but when we got down to pray, God gave me a box. And He said, I can take all of those things from your childhood. And I can put it in the box. And I lock it, but I hand you the key. And He said, if you ever want those things in your life again, you will have to unlock the box. He spoke it as plainly nearly as a man. The power of it was broken. But it took me a while to learn how to live without it. I've been in it from a child. And so God became my counselor. Oh, thank the Lord. The first thing the Lord spoke to me, He said, there are certain words you can never say again for the rest of your life. I am so depressed. Those were the first words I said to Lauren Vance when he got in from work every day. I'd meet him at the door. Oh, I am so depressed. But the Lord said, I'll give you words to say. Honey, I am fighting depression today. A lot of difference. He brought the scripture to my mind by the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. He said, your words are what you are. And he brought me out of that until I became a whole person. Did I get that at the psychiatrist's office? They might have worked with me for years and years and never got to the bottom. And I want to tell you, God became my psychiatrist. He's my counselor. He began to put pieces together of a big puzzle. And it took him a few years for me to fully get the last piece in there. But there came a day the last piece was put in my puzzle. And I understood it all. Oh, don't be afraid to trust. Amen. He can help you. He can deliver you. And it will be in the church of God. There's deliverance in Zion. And in the remnant that He calls. Don't go seek it somewhere else. It's here. It's here. It's at your fingertips. Thank the Lord. He'll set at liberty. If you are bruised, you know what it means to be bruised? Someone was describing someone just here in this service about being bruised. They had a fall. I want to tell you, we all are familiar with being bruised physically. You can't work like you did before. You can't function, walk, do anything because you're bruised, you're hurting, you're sore. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord wants to do that to your enemy. The prophecy, I'll never forget it a few years ago. Actually, I had to fall out of the truck backwards and bruise myself. And I couldn't hardly move. And the Lord opened this up to me, how that He wants to bruise Satan's head. And I was able to see how I'm bruised. And I said, and then He said, that's not a one-time bruising. The Lord said, He can be bruised every day. And I started praying for it every day, and I still do. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Get a hold, get a vision of that prophecy. And get a vision that it wasn't just one time. And every day, I have a vision of the Lord striking a blow to the head of Satan in my behalf. And he can't work like he did in the past. Thank the Lord. Get a vision. Claim it. Believe it. Apply it. There's deliverance in Zion. Thank the Lord. I believe I'll close with one more scripture in Acts, the 26th chapter. I believe it is. Hope I didn't write down another one, but I'm known to do that. This is Paul. And I believe this is the charge that is given for you and me. Part of verse 17, I believe. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. We have just given you what the head of the church of God is going to do in the church. Haven't we? Now, it's being charged to Paul. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but arise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. This is a charge to us all. You can have a personal conviction, a personal vision. Your spiritual eyes can be just as sharp and keen as the most spiritual saint can be. It's your right, it's your privilege, and it's a charge to us all now. He said, I'm doing this to Paul, but this is to us now. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom now I send thee. There's the charge. I'm going to send you now, Paul, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness and inheritance. You can inherit this thing. And that's our charge today. We want everyone that we minister to also receive the light. Thank the Lord. Pray for us.